going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
First time in over 100 years in which the House of Representatives is unable to organize because the House Republican Conference cannot select a speaker. But the country will do what it has done before. It will look to House Democrats to govern and to lead. And under the leadership of Hakeem Jeffries, that is exactly what we will do.
That's Democratic Colorado Congressman Joe Neguse, just minutes ago from the floor of the House of Representatives. For the 11th time, the name of New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries is offered as Speaker of the House. Now, Jeffries has no path to the seat with Republicans in control of the House. But Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has gone down in political flames 10 times so far, and it looks like it's going to happen again. So what's the deal with Capitol Hill, and what's the fix? Well, joining me to talk about this are Dr. Ravi Perry, political science professor here at Howard University, and Dr. Sharice Nelson, political analyst and director of the Jewel Lamar Prestige Public Policy Polling and Research Center at Southern University. We are talking about the chaos on Capitol Hill, and we're going to get to the phone lines in just a bit, but first, let's talk to our guests about what the heck is going on. Dr. Nelson, Dr. Perry, thank you so much for joining us. This is an historic time for America and indeed what's happening in the House of Representatives. But, you know, Dr. Nelson, what, from your perspective, why is this happening?
Oh, it's very simple, and I have no shame of plugging my book right here, The Congressional Black Caucus, 50 Years of Fighting for Equality. The Congressional Black Caucus has been able to, in many ways, amass political power that started with the 113th Congress, and now if we can get six defectors from the Republicans, Hakeem Jeffries can make history and become a Speaker of the House when his party does not have the majority. Let's remember here, Harold, that the midterms did not shake out like the Republicans thought. And so that is why we're here at this moment, because we need to be able to govern and lead, and we are in a crisis of leadership.
We have on the line now Congressman-elect Glenn Ivey from Maryland's 4th Congressional District. Congressman-elect, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to spend a few moments with us. And congratulations to you on being elected to Maryland's 4th Congressional District. But this has to be a head-scratching moment for you. Can you kind of take us inside some of the conversations that Democrats are having right now? What are they thinking about what's happening on the other side of the aisle?
Well, I mean, we're very confused about what's going on. It's a train wreck that, we've never seen, at least in the past century, and it seemed to be completely avoidable. You know, they had at least 2 months after the election results to figure out what they were going to do with this. And to show up on the House floor on Tuesday, 20 votes short, is a terrible indictment on Mr. McCarthy's ability to legislate. Because, you know, counting heads and votes is the key to being able to be a good speaker. So he's failed that test in a very dramatic fashion so far. And the concern for us is I don't see an end game for him on how to get out of this. But, you know, while they're running around chasing their circle, national security is being put at risk. Basic legislative functions aren't able to go forward. For example, we can't do constituent services right now. You know, there's restrictions on what we can do. There's limits on what we can do because none of us have been sworn in and we're not actually authorized to carry out some of the basic functions that the public expects and deserves. So it's It's a troubling scenario, to say the least.
Do you even have an office?
Well, we do have an office, but I mean, people aren't on payroll. So what that means is, in addition to them not being paid, but there are questions right now about what they or I have the authority to do, because we're not sworn in as public officials yet. It's more than just an inconvenience. It's more than, frankly, even us not getting paid. It is the inability to do the basic things that Congress was set up to do on behalf of our constituents.
Talk to me a little bit about the unity that we are seeing with Democrats. Of course, we have seen a consistent 212 vote for Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. It is remarkable to me, considering that about 4 years ago, that then, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was able to tamp down some Democratic infighting.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare her leadership with the current Republican fiasco, I mean, it's pretty startling. I mean, so obviously we have different points of views and perspectives in the Democratic caucus, but as we just saw in the last 2 years, Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and others put together a House agenda that they were able to enact with the Senate and the White House. We've had probably the most productive Congress in the United States since the LBJ Great Society, and it might even be bigger than that. You know, some of the things that were delivered, like the health care reforms, like the insulin cap at $35, paid leave and health care, the vaccines, veterans access, climate change. I mean, there was, infrastructure, some criminal justice reform. It's just been a phenomenally productive 2 years. These guys can't even, they want to drive the car, but they can't even start it. So it's I think, a startling contrast, and I don't think it's being lost to the American public right now.
Are you concerned that even if the Republicans are able to select a speaker, that this kind of fighting will continue after everyone is sworn in and the business of the House gets underway?
Yeah, great point, because, some of the concessions they're trying to extract from McCarthy would allow them essentially to do this whole, force this whole process to happen again if just one person demands it on the Republican side. And even if they get past this, remember, these are the guys that shut down the government. The debt ceiling vote's coming up. That's right around the corner. This is the one they used to shut down the government 4 years ago. And they've been making threats about shutting down the government repeatedly, since the Tea Party started this stuff almost a decade ago. So it's quite concerning, not only the moment that we're in right now, but, it doesn't bode well for the future, to say the least.
Well, I know they've already called your name for this 11th vote. Would you like to share with us who you voted for this time around?
Oh, big reveal. Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah, how about that?
An easy guy to vote for. He's very well prepared. And, I think he's the, it's going to be historic for him. He's already the first African-American leader in any of the major parties in Congress. And it looks like he's going to be the next speaker, if not this time around in 2 years. So, it'll be interesting to see that reaction. You remember, a lot of this stuff got kicked off when we elected a president named Barack. They'll probably get upset, too, if we get a speaker named Hakeem, but that's too bad. That's where we're going. That's where we're going.
Well,
we're going to make it happen.
Representative-elect Glenn Ivey from Maryland's 4th Congressional District, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Again, congratulations to you. We're going to continue to watch, and we will stay in touch.
Thanks for having me, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the chaos on Capitol Hill, the long slog by the Republicans to pick a Speaker of the House. We are currently on the 11th vote, and it appears that for the 11th time, Republican leader Kevin McCarthy will be defeated again. I want to go to Dr. Ravi Perry political science professor here at Howard University. Dr. Perry, were there signs that this was going to happen before it started happening? Because I would argue from a layman's point of view, all of this has been a bit of an historic surprise.
Yeah, and great to be with you on Founders Day, Noop.
Oh, thank you so much. You too.
Yeah, this is a special set of circumstances, but it was all preventable. We knew that the midterms did not go the way, as Dr. Nelson was saying, so I'm glad to be on with you as well. The vote is historic in that the disarray amongst the Republicans is going into what may become, you know, the most number of votes to arrive at a speaker among the majority. You know, you need 218 in 160 years, and so it's historic. But as the midterm suggested, this was all expected. Democrats performed far better in November than was expected. So the Republican majority is very thin, and unlike Democrats who were able to govern effectively over the past many years under Nancy Pelosi's leadership with a very slim majority, it looks as though Republicans can't seem to even, since back to November, be able to, you know, decide on who a speaker will be. But it was not really a surprise that Kevin McCarthy did not have the support of conservatives, far-right conservatives in the party. They made it clear from the beginning. I think folks just assumed that they would eventually come around, and those 20 members have stuck in their heels. And so here we are.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Nelson, is it that the members of the Freedom Caucus don't like Kevin McCarthy? Do they not like his politics? Is this personal? What's going on here?
Well, I would say that it's both and, right? I think there are some personal vendetta here for sure. But the bigger thing, I think, are his politics, right? We have to remember that the Republicans were trying to find in the morass of non-leadership. Let's remember that this midterm election was supposed to be a walking away in many ways from Trump, right? And many of the candidates that were running were caught in between two worlds. And so I believe that this is a reckoning for the Republican Party. But to go back to what you were saying, Harold, to Dr. Perry, glad to be on with him as well, is the idea that we saw this coming, and we saw this coming because the Republicans, for all intents and purposes, they've lost their ability to really lead since Boehner. If we go back to Boehner, they haven't been able to really coalesce under anything, right, besides stopping Obama, right? So we saw this. We saw this, in my opinion, without the galvanizing picture of Trump. And then the pushback on him in these elections are trying to find the identity of the party. We knew this was going to happen. And Kevin McCarthy does not have the politics. He does not have the personality. And he does have personal vendettas out there. People have personal vendettas against him that make him an untenable leader.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the chaos on Capitol Hill, the selection of a House Speaker. Republicans, for 10 votes, have not been able to do it, and it appears, as we are in the middle of the 11th attempt, that they still are not going to be able to do it. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Perry, what is the Freedom Caucus, and why are they so expressive in their dissent with the rest of the party?
Well, the Freedom Caucus is made up of typically fairly recently elected Republicans who are far right to the mainstream of the conservative ideological agenda. Many of them have many popular career paths made for them via social media. And so their so-called way of governing is to, in some ways, generate as much external appeal and pressure to do what they believe they're so-called doing of draining the swamp, even if that means attacking the leadership structure within their own party. This came about, originally under the umbrella of kind of the Tea Party during the Obama era, but far-right conservatism has increased for a variety of reasons over the past a decade or so. One, we can't forget the extreme reaction that many whites and many Republicans in general had to 8 years of a black president and Barack Obama. That generated the visceral reaction where, you know, we saw that the next president was Donald Trump, who beat 17 other qualified mainstream Republicans in that effort. And so race continues to be America's Achilles heel. And the irony is that not all Freedom Caucus members, you know, are racist. That's not what I was saying. But they are supported by a hodgepodge of newly generated voters on the Republican side who have legitimately felt as though both parties have kind of ignored them over many, many years. And Donald Trump woke them up. Many of those people perhaps did end up coalescing with insurrectionists, but not all of them.
Yeah.
There's a genuine expression of discontent among conservatives about how conservative or not the Republican Party is.
Hold that point, because I have more questions for both of you. Also, Joe from Upper Marlboro, don't hang up. We're going to talk to you next. This conversation will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the chaos on Capitol Hill, the difficult selection of a Speaker of the House. Republicans have control of the House, but they don't appear to have control of the process of picking a new Speaker. My guests are Dr. Sharice Nelson, political analyst and director of the Jewel Lamar Prestige Public Policy Polling and Research Center at Southern University. Also, Dr. Ravi Perry, political science professor at Howard University. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joe, calling from Upper Marlboro. Joe, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I would like to say thanks for inviting me on this line. But I think that the Republicans made a big mistake when they didn't impeach Trump on the things that he was doing. See, when John McCain was around, John McCain was one of the better Republicans than the ones that we got in there right now. And I think he saw what was happening to the Republican Party before all the Trump era and all that thing, you know, came about. So if they would have went on and impeached Trump at that time, I believe that they wouldn't be in the mess that they're in now.
Joe, that's a really interesting theory. Dr. Nelson, what do you think about that? Do you believe that if President Trump had been impeached and thereby not able to run again and perhaps had been considered more politically impotent at that time, what impact do you believe that may have had on what we're seeing today?
I do agree that that would have played a role, but I don't know if we would not be at this moment. So what I would say to that is I do believe that not impeaching Trump did turn off many conservative Republicans who did not like how the party was shaping itself and the identity of that party. I totally believe in that. But I would say to you that there hasn't been a consensus builder inside of the Republican Party, like I said, since, and we know that there's been a failure with that because we can look at Boehner. If we think about Boehner in the years of Obama, he would make one promise and then come back and he wouldn't be able to deliver. So the Republican Party, as we know it, even before Trump, was not able to then coalesce around a set of around leadership. And I would like to say here at this point that That is why Nancy Pelosi was so important. We have short memories, but Nancy Pelosi's ability to be able to get Democrats on one page is speaking volumes right now. And so I appreciate the caller's comments. I do think it was shifted what we are seeing, but I still think we'd be at this moment.
Do you believe that we'd have to go all the way back to Newt Gingrich and the contract with America in 1994 to talk about that kind of Republican leadership to galvanize the members to make things happen? Dr. Nelson.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know if you're speaking to me or Dr. Perry.
Yeah.
Well, if we think about Newt Gingrich, I'm so happy you brought him up, right? Because Newt Gingrich is a perfect example of this. I talk about this in my book on the Congressional Black Caucus. Newt Gingrich comes to the House and he changes all the rules. So he removes a lot of the civility that existed in the chamber by then becoming far more cutthroat with these rules, right? So I would argue that one of the biggest reasons he was able to galvanize the group was because of how he changed the rules, and the rule changing then forced Republicans' hands. And so, to be honest with you, if you want to talk about Newt Gingrich, this is the chickens coming home to roost. That the changing of the rules is why this small faction of the Republican Party is now demanding that they have the ability with rule changes to then rein in McCarthy, which is why this keeps failing.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that, Dr. Perry, because there's so much inside baseball that I think your average voter who is watching this is also, you know, scratching their heads and saying, what is it that they want? What is it that they're trying to do? Because this has been, you know, this has been going on now for more than 2 days, and we're just hearing so much more about how the sausage is made on Capitol Hill. What is it that the Freedom Caucus is asking for, Dr. Perry?
Well, they're asking for a variety of things. In general, they're asking for more influence in, one, the rulemaking when it comes to House leadership. One of the things that's important about taking control of the House is that the majority party is able to then, in the Rules Committee, determine how it is you can even bring a vote up to the floor for a vote. And so all of that can create opportunities for many of these junior, fairly new elected members of the House in a seniority-based Congress system to gain a little bit more influence than they otherwise would. They also want to shift a vote, which Kevin McCarthy has agreed to, that would allow any one member of the Republican Conference to call a vote to recall the Speaker. That was up to 50 in the Nancy Pelosi era, and they've wavered back and forth, Republicans have, over the last couple months of what that should look like. They also want a little bit more time, at least 72 hours, to review bills before they go to vote. Both parties over the last several, really 2 decades, have increasingly handled a lot of bills at the top. For me, this begins with the post-9/11 Patriot Act era, where everyone complained about the fact that the Patriot Act was passed and no one had time to read it. And it took us many years after that to really figure out what, in fact, we passed and how that, in fact, implicated our national security. And so we began in the turn of the 21st century, this era toward getting things done and not allowing as much deliberation and debate on the floor of the House of Congress, House of Representatives, so that things could get passed, like basic debt relief and basic annual budgeting matters. But Republicans on the far right want to move away from that, go back to what they consider to be more deliberation and debate on the floor. But the risk there is that if that happens, then while some minor voices will get more influence, it could hold up a whole bunch of other ways in which we need Congress to function in order to pass some bills to keep the government working.
So, well, Harold, yeah, go ahead.
If I may,
yes.
One of the things that Dr. Perry brings up here is the seniority piece, right? And we've been hearing over and over and over again that, you know, that Congress folks need term limits and all of that. But what's funny to me, and I love that Dr. Perry has already brought this up, Racism is still a huge factor here, because now that the Congressional Black Caucus has expanded, and now there's a member on every sitting committee, there's over 50 members that are now inside of this chamber, they're able to disperse their power. So a lot of this ability to rejudicate matters or to stretch things out is to dilute the power and the seniority of these black members that are in that caucus.
So, but let me say this about that, because on the other side, and you know, yes, obviously in those ruby red congressional districts, you can have, conservative Republicans, and they can be in there, you know, forever until they decide to leave on their own, and then another ruby red Republican can be elected. But the same can be said for, the diamond blue districts for Democrats as well. And we see a lot of that here in Maryland. We see that even with D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton. D.C., even though, for the D.C. Council, we are seeing a change in the faces, and even those who are running as Democrats, that they aren't as progressive as maybe they had been 20 or 30 years ago. But if you just want to talk about the House and Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, she's been in that seat, since I first started voting. And so, I think that, that is the case for any party. However, with that said, it seems that some of the rule changes that the Freedom Caucus is asking for, as Dr. Perry was illustrating to us, about giving members more time to review bills, that doesn't seem unreasonable. But one of the things that does seem to be a bit unreasonable is to have only one member be able to recall the speaker. Am I over exaggerating? Am I exaggerating this issue, Dr. Perry, when it seems that would very well be another attack on the very institution that these members are part of?
Yeah, that will be unusual. I mean, the U.S. Senate works that way because there's only 100 members, and you represent entire states. And so it's worked that way effectively for at least over 100 years since they've been popularly elected. And so, but for the House of Representatives, it just simply has never worked that way. What's interesting here is that this is a democracy. You could argue that on the one hand, democracy is messy, as some of the Republicans have argued, and that so this isn't a big deal. But the other hand, nothing happens without Congress first having a speaker. And so if there were a major international calamity right now, everyone, including those who have been reelected, are technically representative-elects right now.
Right.
So we have a stalemate. We functionally do not have a House of Representatives right now because no one's been sworn in. Now, presumably, we could, in the midst of, let's say, some international emergency, pass some emergency legislation to figure some things out. But we've never been in this situation before in modern American history. And it's not unreasonable for, I think, junior members to want to have more influence. It is very difficult in Congress to gain influence. Sometimes it takes as long as you've been there, as you mentioned, for someone like Delegate Holmes Norton. And sometimes it takes decades to get some influence. Remember, speaking of statehood, I'll be tomorrow on the second anniversary of the insurrection speaking at a rally at the Capitol tomorrow at noon to 1 o'clock. Again, to highlight some of these same issues that these Freedom Caucus members have pushed and getting in cahoots with some of these insurrectionists. But the fact that statehood has taken decades to even get two votes passed in the House of Representatives perhaps is one demonstration of the fact that it's taken, someone as skillful as Delegate Holmes Norton is, that much time in order to get the body of her own members, but also, just the institution as a whole and its rulemaking system to put these votes up on the floor. And so, I understand the frustration of being a junior member with little impact. You haven't written any bills. Nothing's been passed that has your stamp on it, it can be very frustrating in a social media instant gratification world that we live in. But is the way to do to express that frustration is to hijack the functioning of the House of Representatives because you want to change the entire speaker situation? I'm not so sure that's effective. I will end by saying this. We forget that the Constitution does not require the speaker to be an elected member of the House of Representatives. I would argue, in fact, that the Constitutional Convention provided for a space where the House Speaker could be more of a kind of a noble, quote-unquote, statesperson who can come in and bridge the gap between all the divisions in Congress and do what's best in the interest of the American people. We've seemed to be moved far away from that since, I will argue, the Jacksonian era, where we've integrated a much more partisan politics in our federal legislative system.
Dr. Nelson, as Dr. Perry just mentioned, okay, we've got the second anniversary of January 6th, the attack on the U.S. Capitol. President Biden is honoring, 12 heroes who were instrumental in saving the day, if not the lives of individuals that were threatened on January 6th, 2 years ago. And yet, we have in this Freedom Caucus, we still have at least 18 election deniers. And we have people who are part of the January 6th Select Committee investigation who are still on the floor. Talk to me about the significance of where we are ahead of tomorrow.
Yeah, it is so funny that you're mentioning right this anniversary, or that we're talking about that inside of this, because I would argue that those 12 heroes actually saved democracy.
Yeah.
Because I would say that they saved democracy because if certain people get killed, we might not have the democracy that we have today. So it is not lost on me the irony, right, that now we have a very small caucus wanting to hijack, right, because they do not like the procedure. And that's essentially what happened on January 6th, is that Donald Trump felt like because he did not win or get his way, he wanted to subvert the process. And so to me, we are watching ourselves play out. What's actually funny as an international relations scholar is that this, I think, gives the American people some level of empathy when we look at democracies across the world, when we love to wag our finger and shake our head at how other countries are not able to act civil and come to an agreement. We are now in an empathetic posture to be in a place of understanding about how difficult it is to keep a democracy, and how, as Dr. Perry has said, that cooler heads have to prevail, and at some point, your entitlement has to be set to the side in the name of democracy.
Well, I asked Congressman-elect Ivy this question, and I'll ask you this, Dr. Nelson. Are you concerned that even when all of this is over, however it ends, whoever ends up being Speaker of the House, are you concerned that we're going to see this same kind of stalemate, this same kind of high-profile gridlock when it comes to passing bills?
Well, to be honest with you, if we get Hakeem Jeffries, no. And the reason I say that to you is that as Representative-elect said, the Democrats, even with a very slim majority inside of Congress, was able to govern, I'll bet, the Republicans. If Hakeem Jeffries can get six Republicans to come along to his side, I believe that he will find a way to continue to govern, and that we will not have this chaos. We may still have stalemates. We've seen legislative bills, as far as their success, drop precipitously in the last 2 decades. But I believe that if Hakeem Jeffries is to make history here, that he will be able to coax Republicans into to some level of agreement. I believe that Hakeem Jeffries has been in training for a long time. He has watched the skillfulness of Nancy Pelosi. He's watched the skillfulness of Jim Clyburn. He has watched the tenacity of Benny Thompson with the January 6th tribunals, as I would like to call them. And so I do believe that if we can get him as a speaker, that won't be the case. But if we get a Republican speaker, I do anticipate far more stalemate.
Stranger things have happened, Dr. Perry, but six Republican votes for Hakeem Jeffries, is that a stretch? Or do we just have to just wait until some of the Republicans who are supporting Kevin McCarthy become sick and tired of being sick and tired this week?
Yeah, I mean that's just simply not going to happen. And I think this demonstrates the hold in which the conservative wing, the primary base wing of the Republican Party, has on the entire caucus and legislative agenda of Republicans. To get four or five, it sounds reasonable, right? You know, with 200, 18 or so members, it sounds reasonable, right? That you could get, just four or five, six to agree. There's got to be six, moderates. It's a reasonable question. Aren't there six moderates who'd be willing to do that? I'm sure personally there are. But politically, they would then become the new Liz Cheney's and Adam Kinzinger pariahs that would be destroyed by Fox News and OAN Network and Newsmax and other conservative outlets that will make sure that they are primaried in a year and a half when they come up for reelection in 2024. And so to do so would be at a huge risk to their own political careers. And the one thing that all politicians have in common is that they wouldn't be reelected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit, Dr. Perry, about Civics 101. Even as this 11th count is coming to an end, and this is just so important for our listeners. It is so important for those people who just didn't get civics in school, like perhaps you did or I did or Dr. Nelson. Former President Trump has been submitted. His name has been submitted as Speaker of the House. You know, we talk in legal terms in a court of law about indicting a ham sandwich, but it applies here. Why is it that anyone can have their name submitted for Speaker of the House? Your name could be submitted. I can be submitted. Dr. Nelson's name, my daughter's name could be probably submitted. Why is that possible?
Because the Constitution does not provide any specific provisions on who this person has to be in terms of their qualifications. It's not a public elected position. It's a position that's elected within an institutional body, and we permit, theoretically, that person to not be a member of this body. Now, they never have been, but it can happen. Just like technically the Supreme Court, in order to be a Supreme Court justice, you do not have to be a lawyer. You do not have to have a law degree. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that that's necessary. Our precedent, our custom, our American traditions have demonstrated something else on each of these cases. But, Donald Trump got one vote to be House Speaker. I see in the last vote, Representative Hearn had seven votes. But ultimately, these folks who are holding up the Republican caucus and the start of the entire Congress, they could just ultimately decide to just vote, present, not vote at all. That would change the plurality, though, and that could potentially create a wedge for Jeffries to pull out a win. But it's just highly unlikely because, again, they would be to their political peril and they become ostracized for this entire 118th Congress if a Republican were to do that. So it seems as though, at the end of the day, it goes back to the freedom that the framers of the Constitution gave each Congress in order to determine what they thought would be the most effective speaker. Remember, it's called the Speaker of the House, not the Speaker of the Republican Conference, not the Speaker of the Majority. It's the Speaker of everybody. And so presumably that person is obviously the leader of the majority party, but they don't have to be, and perhaps they shouldn't be. Maybe we should be thinking about some of those, you know, moderate folks that might be able to bring people together. Some folks on Twitter nominated Oprah.
Yeah. And as we've seen, what has happened in the Pennsylvania state legislature, where they have elected an independent speaker for its, I guess, House of their state leadership. So this is not a Republican. This is not, this is they have someone who is an independent. Maybe that's a far cry to ask for the U.S. House of Representatives. But I just wonder what provisions, if any, are made if this continues to drag out. It's already been history setting in that in 1923 it took 9 rounds of voting to name a House Speaker, but we are now looking at the possibility of a 12th round. How long can this go on? Are there any other provisions, Dr. Nelson, Dr. Perry, either one?
I don't believe that there are any provisions that are going to allow this to stop. I do agree that what Dr. Perry said about abstention. So I do believe that at some point there's going to be some pressure for abstention, for some people to abstain so that we can get to some level of resolution. Now the question then becomes, who's going to abstain? I think that is the way forward. I don't think that we're going to move people as far as unless McCarthy is thrown out and the Republicans look to another leader. To me, that's still tenable, because they're who can really galvanize them is the question to get over the finish line. So I truly believe that abstention is going to be the way we see the abstention is the way we see the end to this.
Dr. Perry?
Well, I mean, I think that the challenge that we have here is that we have a Congress that's functioning in the 21st century, but a Constitution in which they all swear to protect that was ratified and has only been amended 17 times since 1791. And so it's always difficult to try to attach what we imagine the thinking of the founders and some of the vague precepts of the Constitution to experience this today in the technocratic world that we live in that Congress now has to function in. So the likelihood of us moving beyond this really isn't likely unless we get some abstentions, because this is very clear in the Constitution. We cannot begin. Nothing can happen. You can't even call to order the House of Representatives before you have a speaker. And so that's been clear for generations and generations now. So now it's beyond 1923. We're 160 years plus since we've had this number of ballots. And that last time it took over 9 months. In the 1800s to come to a resolution, and how Congress functioned during that time. Obviously, we can't really draw comparisons because what the responsibilities were and what the world was like at the time and how Congress members lived largely in in Washington for long periods of time, vis-a-vis how we do it today where they jump in and out of town every week. And so we have zero precedent for what we're seeing right now, and we don't even know if it matters to Republican voters in terms of it being a problem for Republicans, because if it's not being trafficked in Republican conservative media circles as a problem, if it's not being portrayed that way as a problem, then you know, we don't necessarily know if the so-called threat that this is to democracy is really being understood as such to most Americans, and only time will tell.
And I just wanted to let you and our listeners know that there is a motion on the House floor to adjourn, and there was there's a 15-minute vote, and I guess they're right around, 12 minutes or so now. So if they vote to adjourn tonight and start again tomorrow at noon as they did today, Dr. Nelson, what does that mean? What will happen between now and tomorrow if they vote to adjourn?
Yeah, if they vote to adjourn, I believe they need to adjourn. If Republicans want to try to salvage in many ways if Republicans want to be able to salvage the face of the American people, I think it's in their best interest to adjourn this evening and get inside of their war room and figure out how they can get this over the finish line tomorrow. If not, we are going to be, watching another episode of The Fools, right, and the chaos on tomorrow.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I want to thank both of you, Dr. Charisse Nelson and Dr. Ravi Perry, for providing us with a great deal of insight, information, and education. There's going to be a quiz on this at some point for our listeners later on this week, because we certainly need that. Also, we want to thank Representative-elect Glenn Ivey from Maryland's 4th Congressional District for joining us in the midst of his work on Capitol Hill. Thank you all so much. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, January 5th, 2023. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.